Amen. Let's begin with prayer. Father, we thank you for the opportunity to worship you, to spend time in your word and your presence. We thank you, Father. I pray for this moment. Let it not be wasted or discarded. Let it not be overlooked or devalued. We sanctify this place, this moment, with the precious blood of Jesus. And Father, I pray that every person under the sound of my voice would receive from heaven today what you have planned for them to receive. Encourage, strengthen, direct, and guide. And we give you praise. And everyone said,
amen.
Come on, everyone shouted.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Good morning. Good morning. A lot of things happening in the world. A lot of, on a positive side, in a couple weeks, we have the Super Bowl. Come on, somebody. Yeah. Any football fans in the house? Yeah. Huh? I'm not going to ask you who you want to win because it don't make a difference, does it? Unfortunately, you know, as fans, you can say, oh, I have to cheer my team on because they need me. But there's a certain reality you wake up that it's not that they need you. They just need to be ready. And I love sports. I like competition. One small competition we have going on right now. Do you realize that the Super Bowl Sundays on the same weekend as Valentine's Day? Is that right? What, I mean, talk about, what do you do with that? Even in our planning, because we like to do special things on special Sundays that events like that are happening. It's like, okay, do we decorate it with nice and chocolate and candy and Valentine's and maybe have that section? Or do we put some chips and dip and rock of ribs and on your way out you grab some? Maybe we'll do both. Maybe we'll have go down this hallway and you'll have violin music and chocolates and go down this one and the old NFL dun. Dun, dun, dun. You're walking through. I don't know. Well, you have to come to figure out. One thing I enjoy, though, is in any sports is competition. I love that close in this past. If you watch football, and if you didn't, just kind of go along with this for a second. I mean, this past weekend, not current weekend, but the past, some amazing football. Yeah. The last minute that you don't know who's going to win, nail-biting. I love those games. Nobody likes watching a game that it's obvious and evident who's going to win within the first 2 minutes, right? We like competition. I like competition. Let me say it this way. I love competition as long as it's not in regards to my life. Stay with me.
Right.
When it comes to our battles of life, I don't like those nail biters.
Yeah.
Last minute. Don't know how it's going to play. I would love for those where the enemy just concedes when they walk onto the field. Come on, somebody.
Right.
Your boss just lines up with what he's supposed to do, she's supposed to do. The weather lines up. The world lines up. People line up. Problems disappear. Just fall at your feet. You walk on the field for battle, and everybody just says, you win.
Yeah.
But it doesn't happen that way, does it?
Right.
In the realm of faith, which we receive by faith, we inherit by faith, we please God by faith. There is a battle of faith.
Right.
And yet, even though there's battles or tensions around us, we can live when we operate through the context, and we'll get into this, in the context of faith. God doesn't want the battle around us to get in us.
Right.
As a child of God, as a Christian, you have the potential or the right, you can say, from the Word of God, to be able to be victorious. Now, stay with me, because I'm going to challenge you like we normally do. Challenge everything I say. Don't take my word for it. Don't take anybody's word for it. Challenge it with your own time studying the Word, because that's when you're going to grow.
Right.
Because things can be taken too far. In the context of victory and being a champion or whatever you want to call it, it doesn't mean that you don't deal with battles. Some people are like, oh, if I get into believing God's word and faith and be strong in the Lord, that I'll never deal with battles. No, there's battles. Battles come to everybody.
Right.
But you don't have to be defeated. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Can I get a better amen?
Amen?
It's the will of your Father for you to have victory that starts on the inside before you see it to the outside. And if you have defeats in life, it doesn't mean you're a bad person. We're real people in the real world, and we're growing. Say, I'm growing. a baby Christian doesn't stay a baby Christian. A baby is supposed to grow. I mean, if a baby was born 20 years ago and they're still crawling in diapers, you would think there's something wrong. Same with spiritual growth. The Bible refers to our spiritual maturity, and that's why it's important for us to be a little more proactive, you can say, with the Word of God and growing spiritually. Some Christians are like, I prayed the prayer, I'm going to heaven, the rest I don't have to worry about, and if God wants me to have it, He'll force feed me. And they struggle because that's not how it works.
Right.
You have to draw near to God and He'll draw near to you. You got to be hungry for the things of God.
Yes.
Those who hunger and thirst after righteousness shall be filled.
Amen.
And so in the process of journey of life, there will be battles. Battles are normal. Defeat is not normal. And if you can learn from past experiences, from the Word of God and say, okay, next time I'll do it differently. Even David, we all talk about David's battle with Goliath, and it's a huge, they wrote a lot of songs about David when he defeated Goliath. It changed the game for him. It changed the whole spectrum. He went from being unknown to known. He went from being a shepherd boy to who is this guy? I just pray that all of a sudden that this year you'll have people say, who is that person? Because of the presence of God and the ability of God and the Word of God that becomes more active in your life in the name of Jesus through faith. Let me say that again. I pray in the name of Jesus that you become that person where they might not have seen you, overlooked you, or ignored you, but all of a sudden you become the one that important people, not just anybody.
Right.
We don't need haters and followers. We need important people that will say, who is that person? I'm noticing something different.
Amen.
Well, three of you are going to get it. The rest of you, you're going to sit on whatever. I'm not here to play games with you. I'm not going to drag you anywhere. And so David, even when his battle with Goliath, and he chose to obey God and challenge the enemy of God, and God gave him victory, what we have to understand is there is within the story a lesson he learned.
Yes.
When he was telling the king. Do you remember when he went before King Saul and said, Greg Bruce translation, your servant David's here, don't worry about it, king, don't stress out, I got this covered, I'll take this giant. And the king said, you're too little, you're too young, you have no experience or expertise, he's a trained warrior, why do you think? And David went in to tell the story, we've talked about this before, in review, and he began to say, well, let me tell you a story of what God's done already. And I was watching my father's sheep. Now, his older brother tells us earlier in the text that it was a few sheep. He was diminishing his value of importance in what he was doing. He said, I was watching my father's sheep. Now, it might be not important to the average person, but when it's your responsibility. See, that's one of the side note. That's one of the key elements for victory in any area of life is doing well with what's in your hand. If you think what's in your hand is not important to give it your best, then you're missing the scripture that says, whatsoever you do, do as unto the Lord, and He will reward you. He's going to increase you.
Right.
It might be a few to everybody. They might diminish you, but you give it excellence and watch God promote you because faithful in the little, faithful in much. Amen.
Yes.
So let's get back on track. And David said, I was watching my father's sheep, and a lion and a bear came out, and I grabbed one of the sheep, and I went after him. Remember the story. But if you look at the text, he'll begin to say, and I slain it, because his proven weapon was what? The sling and the stone. So he picked up his sling, he picked up a rock, he threw it, and he knocked him down. And he said, I was getting the little lamb, I was getting the little sheep out of the mouth, and it rose up. And I grabbed it by its whiskers. Now, when you fight a lion or a bear, the last thing you want to do is be so close in proximity that you have the ability to grab the whiskers. Now, I've learned that a big dog or cat or anything, you don't want to grab them by their whiskers.
Right.
And that's when they're small. A lion and a bear, you don't want to be that close. To grab them by the whiskers. You hear about the two guys that went hunting for the first time and they came across the bear, and all of a sudden they awakened this mama bear and it started charging. And the first guy bent down and started tying his shoestrings, and his friend said, what are you doing? The bear's chasing us. He goes, I'm going to start running. He goes, you can't outrun the bear. He said, I don't have to. I just have to outrun you. Okay, so you'll get that later. So the last thing you want to do is ever be in a fight with a bear or a lion and be close to it.
Right, right.
Big game hunters know they get a weapon that's big enough to shoot from afar because you don't want to be right out on it. But David found himself right up on the lion and the bear that he was able to grab the whiskers.
Yeah.
Why would that be? Could it be that when he was taking the lamb, taking the sheep out of its mouth, he was close, and it said, and they rose up, which means he had knocked them down, but not took off their head.
Yeah.
So David had a little extra fight that was because of his inexperience, lack of knowledge. Well, the Bible says my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. David didn't cry about it. What did he do? He defeated the lion and the bear. God still gave him victory, although that victory took more than what it should have. Do you see my point? But David didn't say, well, I'm just going to repeat that. No, the next time when he faced Goliath, what did he tell Goliath? God's going to put you in my hands, and I'm going to cut your head off. Because he learned if he's going to fight, don't do it the way that was good, but not just that level. There is a better way. Say, there's a better way. So the way we were doing it might not be bad, but if there's a better way, I want to know the better way.
Amen.
If there's a way that takes less effort and energy and fear and nail biting, I want to do it that way. How about you? I want to do it where it doesn't make sense to the natural ear when David said, I'm going to take your head off, and he don't even have a sword. But it didn't matter because he had learned how to knock something down. Now he had learned he had to take something out.
Yep.
Do you see my point?
Yep.
All right, last week we started with this verse in review, Romans 15, verse 13, talking about the battle of faith. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing. In what? Talk to me, church. In what? See, we'll get through real fast and you can hit the restaurant quicker and not be in the last of the line if you work with me. If I gotta drag you, we'll be here till dinner. Come on, somebody. Notice, in what? In believing. While you're believing, in believing. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing. Why would God give you joy and peace in believing unless you need joy and peace when you're believing? Because there's, if you're believing for something, that means you don't have it. And what is the tactic of the enemy? Because Paul says we're not ignorant of the devil's devices. The tactic of the enemy is to get you to focus on what you don't have.
Yeah.
Remember the woman with the little pot,
right,
and a little bit of oil. What do you have? I have nothing. Why? Because that's the tactic of the devil, is to get you to focus on the absence of something and not the presence of something.
Right.
See, there's oil in the streets.
There's oil in the streets.
If that don't make sense, you'll have to get the message. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. Now that word, another translation says that you will abound in hope and overflow with confidence in his promises. Overflow in confidence. The original text says it this way: a confident and joyful expectation.
Yeah.
A confident and joyful expectation. I'm going to add to it. A confident and joyful. If you're taking notes, and I encourage you to write things down in your Bible or in a notepad. Confident and joyful expectation in the face of opposition. Isn't that an example of David? He was confident. He was expecting. He said, King Saul, the same God who delivered me from the paw of the lion, the paw of the bear, will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine. He ran. He didn't say he walked. He ran. You don't run to something unless you're expecting something great.
Right.
When you go to that meeting, you're like, oh, I don't know how this is going to turn out. You're dragging your feet. You brush your teeth slower that morning. You put your clothes on. You're just hesitant in everything you do. Why? Because you are not looking forward to that meeting. Because you know that's not going to go good, and you're nervous about it. If you're in school, when you're going to that final, you are moving slow. It's the only day of the week that you drive the speed limit. You might even drive below, roll your window down, and just wave people on. It don't matter. Don't matter to you. You want to get there slowly. Why? Because you're hesitant. No one likes that. But when you're operating in this level of faith, you say, well, it says hope, not faith. Faith is a substance of things. That's how we're going to step into this realm of faith. We got to begin to step into this realm of hope.
Yeah.
Hope is just not, I hope it works out.
Come on.
I hope I get the job. That's not the hope. Hope from heaven. Hope from heaven. Oh, I like that.
Yeah.
Hope from heaven gives you confidence and a expectation,
right.
A joy, a peace. That you'll be moving in quicker. The boss is like, well, there's supposed to be a bad. Look how they're supposed to be a bad meeting. Look how they're walking in. When you're prepared for a exam, you walk in with confidence.
Right.
Don't you?
Yeah.
You know, I always love, and this is not being totally honest, I always love those students in the class where the teacher would say, hey, we're going to do a quiz or a test, and you're nervous and you're hoping, help me, Jesus. You pray more during class when you're not prepared. Help me, Jesus. If you just help me pass this class, I'll do 5 important, nice things to somebody. I mean, you're just praying and you're bartering with God. And the teacher forgets and goes on a whole discussion and dissertation about something else. And the clock is running out. And you're thinking, oh, there's no way they'll give the quiz or test now. And then someone raises their hand. See, that's why they don't let weapons in school. Not because someone might, you're like, you put that hand down. Excuse me, teacher, weren't we doing a quiz today? Weren't we doing, why? They're excited for it. They're prepared. And when you begin to understand that you are complete prepared in him, that's this realm of faith. That you don't understand how. You don't understand even all the whys and the whens and the wheres, but you know the who. And there's a confidence. Say, I have a confidence. Come on, say, I have confidence in joyful expectation, even in the face of opposition. Now, in the natural, and if you go back to all your history of all the problems you've dealt with, whatever they might be, most of the times that's not going to be the case. So the natural mind, your memory, you're going to say, I don't get that. But that's why Corinthians says that the spiritual things don't make sense to the natural mind.
Right.
How in the world can you be going through opposition? Someone's talking about you. Someone's trying to take your job. Someone's trying to keep you from the next level. Someone's trying to cause you to be defeated. The enemy tried to give you a bad report through doctor. How in the, is it possible, Pastor? You're telling me it's possible to have a bad report come my way, but not let the bad report end me. Absolutely. And it's not a natural thing. It's a spiritual thing. The God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. It's not your power. It's God's power in you. How do you know when you begin to step in faith? When all of a sudden, even there are storms blowing against you on the inside of you. Someone needs that right now. I can sense it. On the inside of you, there comes a peace, a rest. That's what Hebrews chapter 4 talks about. Strive to enter into his rest. There comes a rest on the inside of that person of you, the spirit part of you, the real you. There becomes a rest, a peace, a joy. And now you're not dreading it. You're looking forward to how God's going to work this out.
Yeah.
You get excited about, oh, God's got a big opportunity and it's going to be something that only he can do. But, oh, what a great testimony it's going to be. For my unsaved family and friends that don't even believe in God. They might show up at church, but they don't really believe.
Right.
Mm. How is this possible? Gospel of John, chapter 16, verse 33. King James translation says this. And Jesus is talking. He said, these things I have spoken unto you. These things I have. I'm going to work you today. These things I have what? Spoken. Notice that. These things I have spoken unto
you.
See, let's not read too quickly through the Bible. These things I have spoken unto you. Jesus is talking, and Jesus is the Word, John 1:1, and in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And verse 14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt amongst us. Are you with me?
Yes.
So Jesus is saying, I am speaking unto you.
Right.
These things I have spoken unto you. These things, you say, why are you drawing so much attention? Because a lot of times we try to go to the war in life with what God has spoken to them. But what you need is God speaking to you. The word has to come alive to you. You say, I'm dealing with battles. I need that peace. I need that joy, that rest on the inside. Well, you need God's word to be revealed to you. Psalms 119. The entrance of his word gives light. It gives understanding. The unfolding one translation, it gives understanding to the simple. What does it do? It's showing you, it's revealing to you not only the path and the direction you should take. And that's what David said. Your word is a lamp unto my feet and light unto my path. It not only shows you what to do, it shows you who he is.
Right.
David not only knew how to fight, David knew who he was representing and how God was going to fight. These things I've spoken unto you. Now let's find out a little farther. What were those things that he's spoken to him? Are you still with me?
Yes.
That in me you might have peace. Okay, wait, let's put this on pause for a second and let's just back up a little bit. What was that verse again? Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and all what? Talk to me. We'll go faster if you talk faster. Joy, peace and what?
Joy.
Say joy and peace while I'm believing. Joy and peace. You got those two? Here's why I'm emphasizing it. Jesus said unto them that in me you might have what? Oh, wait, peace. Look at that. That you might have peace. That's interesting. In the world you shall have what? See, it doesn't say that if you're serving me, everybody's going to love you. If you give your heart to me and keep me number one and make me the Lord of your life, your Savior, Lord, and you do everything right, that everybody's going to love you. It don't work that way.
Right.
The devil doesn't say, oh, they're serious now, let's back away.
Right.
The people you think would encourage you be the ones that actually discourage you sometimes.
Oh, no.
We'll leave that alone. In the world, you shall have tribulation. It doesn't mean that you live in tribulation every day. But in life, you will deal with challenges. But in me, in the challenge, you can have what? In the world, you shall have tribulation. But be of, come on, talk to me. Be of what? What is that? That's joy. Good cheer. That's joy. See, the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing. Jesus said, I'm speaking these things unto you. So when I get God's word revealed to me, notice I'm speaking that you might have peace. And in this world, you're going to deal with trials and tribulations. You're going to deal with challenges. You're going to deal with opportunities. You're going to deal with sometimes attacks. And it's not every day, but you'll deal with them because it's just not the devil trying to steal from you, John 10:10. If you're going to do what I called you to do, the devil will try to keep you from what I have for you. And there'll be giants, spiritual giants, obstacles, boundaries, laws, whatever it might be, that have been set up before you got there by the enemy to hinder you from getting there. And you didn't know that they were there when you started on the journey. All of a sudden, God said, I'm going to take you to a promised land. But there was like 31 or 32 different armies they had to deal with to get there. There were giants when they got there. God didn't say, I'm going to take you to fight. No, fighting is just part of the process. You're going to a place that God has already prepared. And the enemy might try to get there before you and step in and put an obstacle, a hindrance, a mindset, a boundary, an enemy, whatever it might be. But when you understand the process, of faith, you know that you come already prepared because you are complete in him, which means when you showed up, you carry all that's needed for victory in that. The priority is not the enemy. The emphasis is not the giant. The emphasis is the God you serve and what he's provided for you. And when the enemy rises up, you know, in the Old Testament it says, when the enemy comes in like a flood, well, there's no comma in the Hebrew. And a flood is uncontainable. We've read it for years, and when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will set up a standard against him. But really, that's not how it comes, because the devil's not, a flood is not able to be contained. Right?
Right.
Listen, are you listening? The devil can be contained. Only God is without measure.
Right, right, right.
So a proper Hebrew translation would say, when the enemy comes in, like a flood, the Holy Spirit will set up a standard.
Yeah.
There is, someone needs to hear this, there is no competition against God.
Amen.
The devil's not big enough. These things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have, notice, be of good cheer. Why? I have overcome. Now that would be great, but we have to understand what's happening, because you would look at Jesus in the natural and say, well, I'm glad that you have victory. I'm glad you have overcome. I'm glad you've overcome, but what about me? There is a connection between you and Jesus. Otherwise, there'd be no reason for you to have peace and joy. There's no reason for you to have good cheer. If someone from your work said, hey, guess what? I want you to know, I want you to be so excited about this weekend. Why? Because I just won the lottery. And I'm worth $50 million. Well, you might say, well, good for you, but why am I good cheer? Why am I, I mean, I'll cheer for you because you won, but what does that benefit to me? Jesus is letting them know that in my victory, you have victory. Confident and joyful expectation in the face of opposition. How? Because I understand through revelation of the Word of God that I already have victory. Amen. Through Jesus. Do you see that?
Yeah.
That's why Romans 4, Abraham didn't look at his own body, because his own body was his own limitation.
Right.
But he had to move beyond his inabilities and begin to see God's ability. Jesus said, I am the vine, you are the branches. Hebrews 12:2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Last week, as we were doing the series about finding confidence in God, this just came out of my spirit. It said, find the finisher. You know, many times we think about the author of our faith. That's Jesus, that's Word. Because Romans 10:17, faith comes by hearing and hearing the Word of God. Faith doesn't come by praying. Even though the disciples asked Jesus, Lord, increase our faith, he didn't say, check, got it done. No, because we find out later through revelation of what God gave Paul to the church of Rome, that he's saying, listen, faith doesn't come by praying. Faith comes by hearing the Word of God.
Amen.
So the Word is your source of faith. You can pray all day, Lord, increase my faith. No, prayer is a connection to faith, because you build yourself up on your most holy faith, Jude verse 20. Build yourself up in your most holy faith, praying in the Spirit, praying in the Holy Ghost. So you can build yourself up, but faith don't come by prayer. See, one of the problems we have in the church world is we get one tool, and we use that one tool for everything. You buy a hammer, and you're trying to change the electric in your house with your hammer. No, the hammer's a great tool, but it doesn't do everything. You have to understand how the kingdom works. Well, pray that the Lord blesses me. Prayer doesn't change your blessing. Obedience in your giving changes your blessing. Prayer changes a lot of things. Faith, do you see my point? So we have to understand the tool. So let's get back onto this. Looking unto Jesus, the author. He's the author. He's the start of this. And the finisher. He's the completer. See, he's the completer. Aren't you glad he's the completer? He sees the end from the beginning, the Bible says. He knows all things. Nothing is hidden from him. He's the finisher of what? Our faith. Who for the joy that was set before him. Circle those words if you have your Bible and you're writing. Who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despised, and the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Where did he end? In victory. Price had to be paid. That was what he was called to do. And there was obstacles and the devil's attack against him. But if the devil had known, the Bible says, what he was doing and the plan of the Father, he would have never crucified Jesus, because he played into the plan of the Father's hands, even when he didn't understand it. He thought he was creating opposition to keep Jesus out. He only opened the door for Jesus to walk through and pay a price that only Jesus could pay to bring salvation to all humanity. Can I get an amen? Can I get a better amen than that? So the finisher, and that's what I joked about last week, I always win when you ask who's going to win the Super Bowl. I always win that game. I always win. Why? Because I wait till the game is over, and then I pick the winner. So my choice is based on what I've already seen happen.
Right.
And so I can have rest and peace and joy and confidence that I'm going to win. Because I wait till I see the completion of it. God sees the completion before he starts the process. That's why he called Abraham, Abraham, the father of many nations, before Abraham had a son or why? Or a child. Because he sees it from the place of completion. And so when he calls us from that place of completion. We're complete in him. So the view from the finisher seat is completion. So if you want to know who you are in Christ, look to the Word of God, because you'll find yourself completed. If you look to how you started in your life, you'll see fragments. If you look at your present, you might see weaknesses and inabilities. But if you want to see God do it, you have to begin to see it from his perspective.
Right.
And begin to believe what he says is true.
Amen.
And don't believe an evil report, believe a God report.
Yes.
And looking at the Bible says, not at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen, because things which are not seen are eternal, which is the truth of the Word of God.
Yeah.
You look to what the seat of the finisher. And the seat, the position of the finisher, will call you healed while the doctor's report says you're sick.
Yeah.
The seat from the finisher will call you blessed while the checkbook says you're broke.
Come on.
But if you want to step in and receive it, because we receive through faith and patience, Hebrews 11, verse 33, and Hebrews 6, verse 12, then we have to begin to get understanding on how God sees us. Because I have to know where he's at if I'm going to respond to his invitation.
Exactly.
Come on over. We have dinner ready. Wonderful. What are you cooking? Oh, and they list everything that's your favorite. That's wonderful. You know what you need to find out next? Where are you?
Right.
See, where are you?
Where are you?
Some of us are going house to house. Instead of finding where he is. Where is he? The view of the finisher. Listen to me. The view of the finisher. And we're all growing in this. So don't feel bad. Because it's called human nature. It's called growth. The view of the finisher is victory. I know that turns off some people. Because I don't know. God sometimes wants you to win. And sometimes. How do you know the will of God? You know the will of God by the word of God. You know the will of God by the word of God. Not by religion. Not by tradition. Jesus said, your traditions have made the word of God of none effect. So I have to look to what the word of God. What's the will of God? It's the word of God. What? You're telling me that God wants me to win in the battles of life that he's directed you to? Absolutely.
Yes.
Now, it's not if you're the author.
Come on.
Let that sink in for a minute. See, some of our problems in the misunderstanding of the context of victory is that we'll start our thing and ask God to bless our thing.
Right.
And then therefore, he's not the author. We're the author.
Right.
The finisher doesn't finish what you author. The finisher finishes what... See the difference? Oh, I'm believing this. Oh, you're okay. Where's your Bible verse? Oh, we'll get on to that in a second. Just stay with me. The view from the finisher is victory. Say victory.
Victory.
1 John chapter 4, verse 17. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness. Notice that. The other verse said confidence in his promises, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Now, I used to read that, and we've talked about this before, that the day of judgment is when you stand before the throne of God, and you can boldly stand before God's throne and say, I'm saved because of the blood of Jesus. And that's a good thing, but that's not what it's talking about. And I'll show you why. That you may have boldness in the day of judgment. The actual Greek word for the judgment is actually also can be used as testing. So when you deal with trials or tribulations or testing, you can have confidence because as he is, so are you. Where? In this world. So if it was talking about you standing in heaven before the throne of God, it wouldn't be about in this world. But it says, while you're in this world and you're dealing with the trial, you're dealing with the test, the enemy's trying to steal, kill, and destroy, you can stand up against the opposition of the enemy and have victory, Matthew 18, 18, bind and loose. Why? Because as he is his authority, he's put into the church. The view from the finisher's position is victory. You can do all things through Christ, which strengthens you. Philippians 4:13. You are more than a conqueror through Christ Jesus, Romans 8:37. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world, 1 John 4:4. Be strengthened with might in the inner man, Ephesians 3:16. Be strong in the Lord and the power of his might, Ephesians 6:10. What am I telling you? This is just a few of many verses. Peter said by two or three witnesses, let everything be established. I'm telling you, throughout scripture, God says, I have overcome, now you can overcome. You are part of the body of Christ. Yes. 1 John 5:4, we'll read this. For whosoever, whatsoever is born of God, overcomes the world. And I'll say it, and I'll read it, and I'll keep speaking that into your life. And I want you to hear it, because we come out of the world who's trying to defeat you and demoralize you and devalue you. And some of us have been in churches that will tell us, you just got to endure and take it. You just got to suffer through it. That's not what God's called you to do. It's not my fault. Blame Jesus. He's the one that told us to pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. In the will of God, the kingdom of God, it's the authority of God. 2 Corinthians 2:14, are you with me? Yes. Now thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ and reveal the Savior or the aroma of his knowledge by us in every place. I like to say it this way. The victories that you have by faith through the word of God becomes a billboard of God's goodness. Right. You need to have some people that don't believe in God scratching their heads, can't figure out how you're doing what you're doing. If you live like the world and look like the world and don't stand out anything different, Peter says that you're a peculiar people. That doesn't mean you're odd and weird. Some people think that means you got to wear a hairstyle that was 50 years old. Well, it was in style at one time. They're in style, just wrong generation. No, no, that's not what peculiar is. Peculiar means that you are cut above the rest.
Yes.
That doesn't mean you're narcissistic. No.
Right.
That's not arrogance, because you know who you belong to. It's not you. It's no longer I that lives, but Christ that lives in me. And the life I live by faith in the Son of God who loves me, cares for me. It's saying that, and I just feel this, I'm going to speak this over somebody's life. It means that if you have a business, that all of a sudden you have supernatural increase, acceleration this year in your business. Not just because you've learned how to do good marketing and you need to do practical things. Not that just you have, if you have a bad product and don't market and you hide it out and you're mean to people, don't expect God to increase that.
Right.
But you could do everything right and still be struggling. But God. So I believe that people need to be calling you and saying, how are you doing what you're doing?
Yeah.
You say, but God. We have pastors come and say, how are you doing what you're doing? We just sent out an email report for your giving. Just in some of the bullet points. Last year, gave over 700,000 pounds of food away to our community. Gave over $200,000 worth of clothes for free to people in the community. Expanded the number of locations that we go to take food and do services. Into retirement homes and trailer parks. Increased the different areas of ministry and outreaches that we partner with. It's not us, it's Jesus. We just do what he tells us to do.
Right.
We keep our eyes on the finisher. We keep our eyes on the finisher because we want oil in the streets.
Amen.
Praise God for the oil in the house, but we need oil in the streets because there's people that in this day and hour need peace and they need joy that only comes from heaven so that they can know that regardless of what the pandemic, epidemic, problem, war, country issue, if you think the news only gives you one bad report and then they're done and they won't find another one, they make money off people watching. And people watch when they're afraid. And people watch when there's always something new bad happening. You put good stuff and most people don't pay attention. Bad stuff. We might be going to war. How are we going to go to war? They're afraid about Russia. Afraid about a virus. Afraid about economy. Afraid about, how about God position you to the place that you start, not only you are blessed, it's just not about you being blessed, but you are so blessed that not only do you not get rattled, you start helping your neighbors out. It's not all about you just having more so you can have a fourth or fifth. That gets weird. That's covet. That's materialism. That's the process of the kingdom. God said, I want you to be blessed. And he said, oh, that's great. Most people stop there. All they want is what gets to them. And God said, here's the process. I want you to start giving. Well, I ain't going to do that. Because generosity keeps the temperature right in your blessing.
Amen.
1 Corinthians 15:57, but thanks be to God, which gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Colossians 2:10. And you are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. In closing, let me read this, or Hebrews 12 again, but I want to add the verse before it. Let us run with patience the race that is set before. Are you listening, church? I encourage you to do this. If you have your Bible, underline that phrase, that is set before. And you can put the word me instead of us. Run the race that is set before me. How do I know what race I'm running? Stay with me. The next verse. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy, stay with me, who for the joy that was set before him. First verse calls it the race. Second verse calls it the joy. First calls it the race. Second calls it the joy. Who for the joy that was set before him, the journey. You can have in the journey of faith, because it's faith and patience, you can have joy and peace in the journey. Back to that thought. But it has to be set before you. It's not what you just copy somebody. It's the joy or the race that is set where? Set before. Say, set before me. Let me go in teaching mode real quick. Set before me. Say, set before me. Okay, so right now, you are setting before me. Now, you're not. You are. Now, you're not. You are set before me. What determines what's set before me? Is it not my position or my target of focus?
Right.
So my focus is determining what is being set before me.
Right.
If you set something before me, and I'm looking this way, and you're that way, it is no longer before me.
Right.
And I don't see it. If you set it before me, and I'm looking this way, I don't see it. Because
right.
It's not before me anymore. Because the position of it being before me carries with it an understanding of your target, of your focus. God just doesn't speak to me anymore. Maybe your focus, I'm not getting anything from the Word of God. Maybe your focus it is a subjective, what you would call, phrase. It's based on the condition of where you are focusing on, your target, the target of my focus. And when we begin to say, Lord, the target of my focus is now going to be on you, right? Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith.
Yes.
Set your affection on things above, not things on the earth. The target of my focus, you say, well, I don't see Jesus anywhere. You don't in the natural. And I'm not saying to be looking for Jesus to walk through. You know, people that say they wake up every morning and Jesus standing inside the bed. I'm not saying God won't do that for somebody. I'm just saying if it's happening every morning, I wonder what they're smoking the night before. That's all I'm just saying. There's a balance to everything. But the target of my focus, again, on Jesus, the target of my focus is on his word.
Yes.
Because he is the word. So when I choose to target my focus, all right, God, show me what to do. And you spend time in the word. Jesus said to his disciples, the Bible tells us. Jesus said to his disciples, it says that phrase. And he said to those who followed him, to his disciples, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. You can follow me and act like a disciple, but you want to know the difference? If you're truly a disciple, a follower, imitator of me, if you continue in my word, then you are truly my disciples, and then you shall know the truth, and the truth will say, there's a condition of obedience to every connection of every promise.
Right.
Lord, Pastor, I'm just so overwhelmed. I'm just so exhausted. The devil's just tormenting my mind. What are you listening to? What are you watching? I hear voices in my house. It scares me. Why aren't you talking louder than them? Just start speaking the word. You say, I don't know much. Well, then open up your Bible if you don't know to quote anything. And say, well, if you're going to be here and you're going to try to torment me, while you're here, let me just read a few verses. John 3:16. Let's start at the basic. For God so loved the world. Are you listening? For God so loved. And just kind of give a whole sermon. How long do you go? It's not going to stay too long.
Right.
I'm telling you. Listen, John 1. You know what I mean? That Jesus is the light. The life of God is light. And darkness cannot comprehend, cannot hold back the light. You're standing in the dark room saying, it's so dark in my room. Turn on the light. Don't over-spiritualize it. Don't make it creepy. Don't make it goosebumpy. Don't make it, turn on the light.
Right?
Turn on the light. Say, turn on the light. And when you turn on the light, darkness doesn't start going, nah, nah, I want it. And demons will do that sometimes when they're leaving people. That's just their exit sound. That's just their anthem for, I'm out of here, I just lost. Don't be afraid of it. But what do you do? Just start speaking the word. Start worshiping God. Hallelujah. The target of my focus is on your word. In summary, I receive by faith. Hebrews 6:12 and Hebrews 11:33. Faith comes from the word. Romans 10:17. Faith is a substance of things hoped for. Hebrews 11:1. And hope gives you joy and peace while you're believing. Romans 15:13. As you keep your targeted focus on his word. Amen. We're done. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. With every head bowed and every eye closed, if you're here today and do not have a real relationship with Jesus Christ, I'm not asking if you know about God. I'm not asking you to join a church, denomination, or religion. I'm asking you, in the way you process and the way you experience and the way you understand, is Jesus Christ real to you today in a way that you know for yourself that he's real and your Lord and Savior? I'm not into religion. I define that as man's rules, creating rules to get to God. I'm into a real relationship with Jesus Christ based on the truth of the Word of God. Keep it real. Keep it simple. And watch what God will do. If you don't, maybe this is the first time you've heard the gospel that you could go to heaven and miss hell. Good people don't go to heaven. Forgiven people go to heaven. Jesus paid the price on Calvary. His blood destroys the power of the enemy, purchases you, redeems you, brings you back into the family of God so you can miss hell, which is for the devil and his followers, and go to heaven. Be free from sin. You are so important to God that he sent Jesus. You don't have to live life under the condemnation of sin, the attacks of the enemy. No, you can have peace. You can have his joy. You can know him. The greatest joy. How do we do that? Revelation 3, he says, I stand at the door and I knock. If you open up, I'll come in. Romans 10 says, those who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So I'm going to lead you in a short but simple prayer, but it'll be powerful. Let it come from your heart. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you are saved, I ask you to quietly be praying right now for those who aren't, right where you're at. If you don't know him, this is your day for salvation. Pray this prayer with me. Say, Heavenly Father, I repent of all my sins. I turn to you today. I believe in my heart, and I confess with my mouth that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that he came to this earth in the flesh, died on a cross for my sins, was buried for me, and on the third day, rose again for me. Because I believe that, I ask you, Jesus, to come into my heart. Wash me in your blood. Forgive me. Cleanse me. Give me a fresh start. Say, Jesus, I don't want a religion. I want a real relationship with you. So I invite you into my life, into my heart, to be my Lord and my Savior. Thank you for saving me. Amen. 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 Amen, church. Before we dismiss, I want to encourage you, we'll have prayer partners down here following the service. We want to speak a blessing over your life. We encourage you to invite other people to come to church. We are in the last of the last days. Now's the time to reach out to people. People are more desperate in need for peace and salvation and in God's presence and his truth to get saved than I've ever seen in my life. Let's not be afraid like the world and hide out. Let's use what the enemy's trying to do to destroy, and let's be a light. The darker it gets out there in the world, folks, that's when we're supposed to be a bright light. Amen. To help people. Not everybody, but the people that God calls you to help. Amen? I want to keep that in front of you because it's so important to keep reaching out, making a difference in people's lives. But I also want to, if you prayed that prayer, I just want to speak a blessing over your life too. For Ephesians 3 says that you be strengthened with might in the inner man by his spirit. We need supernatural heaven strength. Isn't that weird? It's the confidence and boldness and strength that comes from God. So that when you go out in the world, you're not easily tempted and thrown off. So I'm going to ask you to do something at the count of three. If you're here and you prayed that prayer, I'm not here to embarrass you. But if you think it's hard to stand up for Jesus in a house when people are clapping for you, what is it going to be when you get out in the world and there are people trying to talk you down the wrong path? We have to learn to define a line and saying, I'm crossing the line and I am saved and I'm not ashamed. Doesn't mean you have to witness to every person you come in contact with. But you don't need to follow every evil person that suggests something bad. Some of us treat our Christian walk like I treat my nutritional plan. I try to eat healthy until someone offers me junk food, and it's over. I'm going to eat healthy today. You want some cake? Sure. Don't have to twist my arm. Some of us, that's our Christian walk. I'm going to serve God. And someone says, you want to go do this? You know what's wrong? Sure, I don't want to offend you. No, we need boldness. Amen. In these last days, we need strength. We need strength from heaven beyond our ability. Amen. So that's going to start. If you just got saved, I want to celebrate with you. We want to recognize you, but I also want to pray a 10-second prayer into your life. Don't ask you to come forward, just where you're at the count of three. Some of you are bold, you'll stand quick. Some are shy, and you'll kind of be hesitant. So the bold people stand quick, so the shy people get a little encouragement. Amen? The rest of you, I want you to clap as loud as you can. Let them know that we're in their corner. So the count of three, ready? If you prayed that prayer and meant it, that Jesus is Lord of your life, I want you to stand to your feet. 1, 2, 3. Stand to your feet right now in Jesus' name. Come on, stand to your feet. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. God bless you. Come on, church. Thank you over here to my right. Amen. Stay standing. First of all, let me say congratulations. Stay standing. I'm going to speak a blessing. Congratulations over your, we are so proud of you. We're family. We're not going to, as if this is the first time here as Hope Church, I want you to know, as a pastor, I don't control people. I'm not going to chase you down, but we're here to help. We'll pray for you, encourage you, make sure you have a Bible, but you just let us know, okay? We'll never hunt you down. Some pastors do that. They feel that that's how they do it. I don't feel that way. We let the Holy Spirit clean people. We're here to catch people. But we want you to know we love you, encourage you. How can you let us know? Simply by, you can go to the information across the hall anytime. You can get on the app, website, and you can put information I need, and we'll contact you. We'll explain stuff to you. We'll get you plugged in if you want to be plugged in. We're here to assist you. But I've learned the hard way. Some people just want you to force them. Someone's going to drag me to heaven. I can live any way I want. That's a mindset of I don't have accountability for my own actions. I don't want to deal with people that way. I believe we have a bus, and we are going to heaven, and we have a seat for you, and you're welcome to get on it, but I'll not drag you to it. Yeah. If you don't want to go, we love you, and I'm very open. If people want to go to hell, they're welcome to go to hell. God gave you the choice, and we'll love you all the way, but don't blame me when you get before God, and he's about to send you to hell, and you say, Pastor Greg, it's his fault. It's not my fault. I'm going to heaven. I'm going to serve Jesus with all my heart, and we love to have you with you. with us, but we're not going to force you. Amen. We put that on your shoulder of you making the decision. But why don't you stretch your hands up? I'm going to pray for you. Father, in the name of Jesus, for all the ones standing, I speak a blessing over their life. We ask, according to your word, for supernatural strength, peace, and confidence. And Lord, any tactic of the enemy that he has used successfully against them in the past to bring them down, to break them, to bring them a sin, I break it by the authority in the name of Jesus. Any relationship that has been attached to them, tied to them like a tether, like a rope that is holding them back and discouraging them and bringing them down, I cut it in the name of Jesus by the authority of the word of God. And I loose them into all that you have for them, Father God. As they start this journey, give them peace, give them joy, give them strength, give them boldness. Thank you. Draw them, give them the desire for you, Father God. In your presence and your word, we give you praise. And everybody shouted, amen. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. You may be seated. Thank you. God bless you. Now for all of you, thank you again for coming. Raise your hands. Let me speak a blessing over your life. According to Numbers chapter 6, may the Lord bless you and protect you. May the Lord smile on you and be gracious to you. May the Lord show you his favor and give you his peace. In Jesus' mighty name, I call you blessed. And everyone shouted, amen. Amen. God bless you. Have a great week.